Welcome to Signal Noise Weekly. I'm your editor. This week, Iran nearly ended a ceasefire, Fauci took the fifth 111 times, and the right side of the media ecosystem had a real bad week for coverage. Let's get into it.
And the markets moved on all three. Not always in the direction people think.
The framing this week was something. Some of the cleanest left-right splits we've seen in months.
Okay. Story 1. U.S.-Iran. Fifth month of this conflict. Ceasefire holds for 3 days. Trump says talks are underway. Iran says no, they're not. Strategist, where did the coverage land?
So you had a genuine split. Left-leaning outlets emphasize the ceasefire fragility, the holds for now framing. Right-leaning outlets push Trump's optimism harder. There is a good chance something could happen.
Which is a very low bar for optimism, by the way.
It really is, but it played well in certain rooms.
And Iran's denial got buried?
Pretty consistently, yeah. Qatar and Pakistan are intermediaries. Iran says no direct talks. That tension got one paragraph, maybe two.
Here's what I want to flag. Brent crude dropped below $90 on the ceasefire news. That's the market saying, we believe the pause is real. Not permanent, just real enough to price in.
So the money was more optimistic than the skeptical headlines?
Considerably. The headlines said, fragile. The oil market said, we'll take it.
Which is interesting, because the media fragility frame, that's not wrong. It's just incomplete.
Right, and incomplete frames move markets too. Just slower.
The eternal tension. Forecaster, what was the biggest ongoing narrative this week by source count?
Iran war dominated everything. 25 sources on the fresh strikes wave, 22 on the Saudi militia angle, 18 on Trump Netanyahu at the White House. It was basically Iran wall to wall.
And the Saudi nuclear cooperation deal got, what, a footnote?
A footnote. Terms contested, buried in paragraph 6, most places.
That's a big story getting small treatment.
It is, but editors had to make calls this week. The ceasefire was moving faster than the nuclear deal.
Fair. The Fed also got tangled in here somehow. Walk me through that, because it felt weird.
So the Fed held rates steady. Bond yields surged. Stocks fell on inflation concerns. That's 21 sources. But several outlets filed it under the Iran war narrative tag.
Because Iran is hitting inflation through oil. It's not wrong, it's just a very aggressive filing choice.
Aggressive filing choice is generous.
Editors connecting dots. Sometimes the dots are real.
The dot here is real. Oil above 90, Fed holds, yields surge. That's the transmission mechanism. I'll allow it.
All right. Let's talk Zelensky-Trump, because that White House meeting got some interesting framing, strategist.
So, Zelensky calls it a good meeting. Fine. But then he goes on Hannity, Fox specifically, and says Trump accepted giving licenses to produce Patriot interceptors inside Ukraine.
Accepted is doing a lot of work in that sentence.
A lot. Because accepted in diplomatic language is not agreed. It's not signed. It might mean did not immediately reject.
And Fox ran it as a win?
Largely. The Hannity framing was positive on Trump's engagement. Other outlets were more cautious. Defense News focused on the peace talks angle, which is a different story entirely.
And the Ukraine drone hitting Wildberries, Russia's biggest online retailer, that was almost nowhere.
Almost nowhere? That's a significant economic warfare move.
Significant and underplayed. Economic disruption campaign targeting civilian retail. One mention, CNBC, buried.
The drone campaign framing has been consistently military. When it goes economic, editors don't have the same instinct for it yet.
Okay, that's story one. Let's move to story two, the week's biggest blind spot. And Forecaster, you already know what I'm going to say.
The right side of media had a rough week for coverage.
Yeah, multiple stories. Let's start with the Seattle shooting, because that one is stark.
So, three dead at the Bite of Seattle Food Festival. 2-year-old boy wounded. two suspects shooting at each other in a crowd. That's a horrific story.
And right-leaning outlets largely missed it or downplayed it?
Blindspot flagged as right. Al Jazeera published the vendor livestream footage. AP was doing the active search reporting. Right-leaning outlets that would normally amplify a story like this, crowd shooting, toddler wounded, were quieter than expected.
Why? Strategist, what's the editorial logic?
My read, the suspect framing was complicated. Two suspects shooting at each other, gang-adjacent pattern. When the story doesn't fit a clean policy villain narrative, some outlets lose interest faster.
I think that's a reasonable read, but I'd want more data on it.
Fair. It's a hypothesis.
The wildfires in France and Spain, 300,000 evacuations, 200 homes destroyed. Also a right blind spot.
Right blind spot confirmed. And Greece was burning too, same week. The European climate disaster angle was almost entirely left in international coverage.
That tracks. Climate-adjacent stories have a consistent engagement pattern by outlet type. This isn't new.
But 300,000 people evacuating
is huge. It is huge. The scale was genuinely massive.
And the civilian volunteers with water tanks holding back flames from villages, that's a compelling visual story. Just didn't travel to the right.
And then the Peru plane crash. 13 dead near the Nazca lines. Also a right blind spot.
13 dead, iconic UNESCO site, compelling visuals. And it was a right blind spot.
International disasters without a US political hook get deprioritized across a lot of outlets. But the pattern this week skewed right harder than usual.
And Nirmal Purja, one of the greatest mountaineers alive, killed in a Pakistan avalanche.
Yeah, that one stings personally. Guy climbed all 14 8,000ers in under 7 months. Killed by an avalanche.
And the coverage gap there is less ideological, more just the sports adventure beat doesn't have the same priority it used to.
Okay, before we get to what the money thinks, Fauci, Senate hearing, Fifth Amendment, 111 times. Strategist, break it down fast.
Clean partisan split. Right-leaning outlets led with the Fifth Amendment invocations, contempt threats from Paul and Cruz. Left-leaning outlets emphasize the procedural framing. Committee vote next week, due process concerns.
And the 111 times number? That is a number. That's designed for headlines.
It really is. Someone counted.
Someone absolutely counted. And the count itself becomes the story, more than the underlying policy questions.
Which is a frame that benefits the interrogators, not the witness.
Exactly right. Invoking the Fifth is a constitutional right. Leading with the count makes it sound like an admission.
The Blanche nomination fight. Quick take, both of you.
Trump threatening an anti-weaponization bill if Blanche isn't confirmed. Classic leverage play. The interesting angle is Fetterman, a Democrat, saying Trump has zero leverage. That's the real story.
Fetterman is the tell. When a Democrat breaks ranks to say a Republican president has no leverage, that's news.
Yeah, it is. Okay, what the money thinks. Forecaster, take it away.
All right, let's go. Prediction markets this week. Biggest swing by far. Israel-Hamas ceasefire phase 2 by July 31. 60% probability. Swung 53.4% this week.
53 points in 1 week?
53. That is an enormous swing. That's the market saying, we had no idea, and then we kind of got an idea.
And the media coverage of Israel-Hamas ceasefire this week was how much?
Thin. The Iran war ate all the oxygen. The Hamas ceasefire angle was there, but not dominant.
So the biggest prediction market movement of the week was on a story that got undercover?
That's exactly what I'm saying. 60% by July 31. That deadline is basically now, and it wasn't in the top tier of coverage.
That's a genuine market media divergence, even if the system didn't flag one formally.
The system flags price divergences. This is a coverage divergence. different thing.
Distinction matters. What else on the market side?
Trump impeachment odds, 2.3%, barely moved. Michigan independent governor, 2.3%, flat. Russia capturing Kostyantynivka, 3.6%, essentially flat. Nothing else moved meaningfully.
The markets were basically saying, Iran ceasefire and Hamas ceasefire are the only live questions right now.
Everything else is priced in or irrelevant.
Microsoft earnings beat, 7% jump after hours. Copilot super app, does that get enough coverage?
Business press covered it well. General news covered the stock pop. The accounting change story, the data center treatment that produces positive free cash flow, almost nobody explained that.
Because it's complicated, and it matters. Classic.
Classic.
Okay, rapid fire. Three stories, fast. Jay Clayton confirmed as DNI. Go.
Cloture cleared Monday night. Former SEC chair. Confirmation process was turbulent for weeks. Left-leaning outlets flagged Section 702 FISA implications, surveillance authority. Right-leaning outlets led with the Intel community finally gets Trump's pick angle.
Section 702 angle was a left blind spot, in the sense that the right buried it.
Michigan Democrats and the Abdul El-Sayed Senate primary. Go.
Right blind spot. Historic potential. First Muslim senator from Michigan if he wins. Progressives confident, moderates nervous. The primary is the real story here, and right media essentially ignored it.
Classic midterm primary coverage gap. The drama is in the primary, and if your audience isn't rooting for either side, you don't cover it.
Israel and Hezbollah. Hilltop clashes, West Bank detentions. Go.
Right blind spot again. The West Bank detention story, children detained. That's the piece that didn't travel right.
Three right blind spots in rapid fire alone. It was that kind of week.
It really was. Okay, what to watch next week? One thing each. Forecaster?
The Hamas ceasefire deadline just passed. 60% odds going into July 31st. Watch what happens to that market if phase two collapses. That 53-point swing can go both directions fast.
Good one. Mine is the Fauci contempt vote. If the committee votes to hold him in contempt, the framing war gets louder fast. Watch how both sides cover the procedural steps versus the substance.
Mine is the Blanche confirmation. Those three Republican holdouts haven't been named publicly yet. When they surface, and they will, watch which outlets run the Trump has leverage frame versus the holdouts win frame. That tells you a lot about where the right is right now.
The unnamed holdout story is genuinely interesting. Anonymous resistance inside a party that punishes resistance.
The anonymity itself is the story. They're protecting themselves from something.
From the base, probably. All right, that's the week. Iran paused. Fauci pled the fifth 111 times. The right looked away from Seattle and the Nazca lines and Nirmal Purja. And the Hamas ceasefire market swung 53 points while most newsrooms were looking somewhere else. That's the signal. The rest was noise. Full sourcing, bias breakdowns, and the prediction market data are all at s2n.news. Check it out. It's free. We'll see you next week.